Have you noticed how certain conversations feel eerily familiar, like you've had them a thousand times before? The colleague who asks for advice, then shoots down every suggestion. The partner whose complaints always spiral into the same explosive fight. These aren't random occurrences. They're psychological games we unconsciously play. Eric Berne's revolutionary 1964 book revealed these hidden patterns, initially self-published after multiple rejections, only to become an international sensation selling over 5 million copies. What makes this work so powerful isn't just its insights into human behavior, but its ability to show us the invisible scripts controlling our daily interactions and how we might rewrite them. We all crave recognition, whether we admit it or not. Berne called this stroking, the basic unit of social interaction. Just as infants need physical touch to develop, adults require psychological acknowledgement for emotional health. As we mature, a smile, nod, or even criticism substitutes for physical contact, but the hunger for recognition remains constant. Beyond this need for strokes, we must structure our time. Berne identified 6 ways: withdrawal, solitary activities, rituals, predictable exchanges like good morning, activities, productive work, pastimes, casual small talk, games, patterned interactions with hidden motives, and intimacy, genuine, vulnerable connection. Most of us spend social time playing games because they provide structure while protecting us from intimacy's terrifying vulnerability. This framework explains our repetitive patterns. We're not weak or foolish. We're simply organizing our time in ways that feel psychologically safe, even when they're ultimately unfulfilling. Every person contains 3 distinct ego states that Berne called parent, adult, and child. These aren't metaphors. They're observable shifts in posture, tone, vocabulary, and emotional expression. The parent embodies internalized authority figures, speaking in judgments and rules. You should save money. The adult processes information objectively, analyzing present reality without emotion. The child contains both natural spontaneity and adapted responses to early authority. But I want to have fun now. Watch someone during an argument and you'll see these states shift. When they stand straighter and speak judgmentally, their parent has taken control. When they analyze data precisely, their adult is engaged. When they whine or show impulsive emotion, their child has emerged. This explains why we sometimes feel conflicted. Different parts of ourselves literally want different things. These internal dialogues become external when we interact with others, creating both functional and dysfunctional relationships. The key isn't eliminating any ego state, but recognizing which one is driving our behavior at any given moment. Games are recurring patterns with hidden motives, predictable outcomes, and emotional payoffs. Unlike straightforward interactions, games involve ulterior transactions, messages sent simultaneously on 2 levels. The social level appears reasonable, while the psychological level conceals the real agenda. Consider If It Weren't For You, a common marital game. A wife complains her controlling husband prevents her from traveling and meeting people. When he relents, she discovers she's terrified of these activities. His prohibitions protected her from confronting her fears while giving her something to blame. She avoids facing her limitations and confirms her belief that all men are tyrannical. He feels important and needed. Both unconsciously benefit, which is why the pattern persists. Games follow a formula: con plus gimmick equals response, switch, payoff. The con hooks the other person through their gimmick, a vulnerability that makes them respond. The switch suddenly changes the interaction, leading to the emotional payoff that reinforces each player's worldview. We play games because they're safer than intimacy, more exciting than small talk, and provide psychological stability through familiar patterns. Some games shape entire destinies. The alcoholic game involves multiple players: the central alcoholic, a persecutor, scolding spouse, a rescuer, doctor, or counselor, a patsy who provides resources without judgment, and sometimes an agitator and connection supplier. The payoff isn't drinking itself, but the morning after suffering and recrimination. Social drinkers discuss cocktails, alcoholics prefer discussing hangovers and consequences. Debtor becomes a life-defining game, particularly in American culture. Society celebrates the young person signing new debt papers, not the middle-aged person who has paid off their mortgage. After debts are paid, many feel purposeless. They had meaning during the struggle, but feel aimless after success. Perhaps most self-defeating is Kick Me, played by people who behave as though wearing a sign reading, "Please don't kick me," an irresistible invitation that inevitably leads to mistreatment. When kicked, they cry, "Why does this always happen to me?" If others restrain themselves, these players become increasingly provocative until they force a reaction, never recognizing their own role in creating these recurring outcomes. Our daily conversations are filled with games that structure time while avoiding genuine connection. Why don't you, yes, but, is perhaps the most common. Someone presents a problem, others offer solutions beginning with why don't you, and the player rejects each with yes, but. The payoff comes when everyone exhausts their suggestions, demonstrating they are inadequate helpers. The antithesis? Respond with, "That's difficult. What are you going to do about it?" This exposes the player's frustration at being denied their game. Schlemiel involves one person damaging property while another forgives them. White spills a drink on the hostess's gown, apologizes, receives forgiveness, then inflicts more damage. The real payoff isn't the pleasure of destruction, but obtaining forgiveness. The antithesis involves refusing absolution. "Tonight you can embarrass my wife and wreck the furniture, but please don't say, 'I'm sorry.'" Sexual games exploit or fight off sexual impulses, with satisfaction displaced from intimacy to the game's payoff. Rapo comes in 3 degrees. First degree involves mild flirtation where someone signals availability, enjoys the pursuit, then ends the game once the other commits. Third degree is vicious, ending in court, suicide, or murder. The player leads someone into compromising physical contact, then claims criminal assault. Games provide psychological stability, but limit growth and genuine connection. True autonomy requires 3 capacities: awareness, spontaneity, and intimacy. Awareness means experiencing the world directly, seeing a sunset, or tasting food as if for the first time, without past associations clouding perception. Spontaneity represents freedom to choose responses rather than following scripts, genuinely considering criticism instead of automatically becoming defensive. Intimacy involves honest emotional exchange without manipulation, the direct connection infants possess, but adaptation corrupts. Attaining autonomy requires liberation from parental conditioning. This is possible because we begin life autonomous and make early decisions that can later be recognized and reversed. The path involves challenging our earliest beliefs and obtaining a friendly divorce from parental influences, allowing them to exist without dominating. Nearly 60 years later, Burns' insights remain remarkably relevant. The games simply found new platforms. Why Don't You, Yes But, thrives in online forums. Ain't It Awful dominates comment sections. Dating apps host Rapo, and social media enables endless status games. Burns' fundamental insight endures. While technology changes, the psychological needs driving behavior remain constant. We still crave recognition, structure time to avoid boredom, and protect ourselves from intimacy's vulnerability. By recognizing our games, we gain freedom to respond differently, moving from unconscious patterns to conscious decisions, from manipulation to authenticity.